When referring to eschatology, the study of mankind's last days, or what we call the end times, there's a theory called the double P principle. Double P principle. And it's an interesting one to consider. I wanted to share it. It's an old one. I wanted to share it with you this morning. Brother BJ has been opening up to us and teaching from St. John's book of the Revelation during our Sunday evening services for some weeks now. I wanted to take this first Sunday of December not only to thank BJ for his wonderful insights, but also to share this double P principle with you. You'll very quickly see what we have heard so far in BJ's study very closely parallels this principle. Are you familiar with the principle, BJ? It's an old country preacher principle, but anyway, no, I mean, not from me, from other old country preachers, but I think it's interesting how closely they mesh. It makes us stop and realize how human history supports what Brother BJ has been teaching in our Sunday evening services. As we celebrate the season dedicated to the birth of the Savior, who revealed these things to John, remember, on the Isle of Patmos, let's rejoice together that God has revealed to his people his plan for the future. Amen? He's revealed to us his plan, not our plans, not the great leaders of the nation's plans, not the politicians' plans, God's plan. And he's revealed it to us in his book. Amen. And his protection over all who believe his word. His protection. When all these events take place, whatever you want to think about them, they're going to happen. And if you trust Jesus Christ, you're going to be okay. You believe that?
Yes.
Do you live like that?
Yes.
Do you share that with people? As the last days, as the end times approach, they are approaching. According to the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles, the first signs will be polluted preaching. Polluted preaching. We are certainly experiencing just that from many pulpits today, are we not?
Yes.
Preaching a polluted gospel. Last week, this mailer went out to the citizens of Springfield, out into our community, inviting people to visit what calls itself the Community Christian Church. We are not far from the Roundtree and Phelps Grove neighborhoods where most of Springfield's, now I want you to listen to this. I'm reading it verbatim. We are not far from the Roundtree and Phelps Grove neighborhoods where most of Springfield's progressives live. Please make an effort to drive a few miles east to find us. Our small church is located and it gives the address and the times of the worship and so forth and so on. On the other side, I hope you remember me. For my more than 20 years of writing ethics columns for the Springfield News Leader, or from any one of several community activities addressing poverty, discrimination, and social justice. He is no longer in our papers. Thank God. Now I hope that you will join me for a discussion of the issues addressed in my new book, Progressive Faith and Practice. We will start classes on Sunday, and so forth and so forth. Here is what Roger Ray states. He states that he wants to build a Christianity based neither on the magic and superstition of our ancient world, nor on the creeds and liturgies that reflect an intellectual framework that no longer exists. Most progressive thinkers, I go on to read at the bottom this verbiage. Most progressive thinkers in the 21st century have given up on institutional religion entirely. Frankly, I don't blame them. But what if you could remove all of the old Iron Age myths and superstitions from religion, move beyond magical creeds and incantations, acknowledging that you don't have an imaginary friend who lives in the clouds and who grants wishes and then sees what a life of faith can meaningfully become? You're listening?
Yes.
At the root of most major world religions is the striving after ethics and justice. The real question of faith is not how do I get to go to a fairy tale place of eternal reward when I die, but rather it is how can I be a better person and work with others to help make the world a better place. Doesn't that sound good now? That sounds good, doesn't it? But it makes God a liar.
Try.
Makes this book a book of fables.
Try.
Amen?
Try.
This went out to Springfield from a place that calls itself the Community Christian Church. You think I'm not upset? This is a man I argued with through the newspapers for 15 years. I'm praying for him. I'm praying for him. He needs to find Jesus. I want to close. I am convinced, he goes on to say, and he has a book out, Progressive Faith and Practice, which of course he's trying to sell. But I'm convinced that the heart of sincere faith has to do with the right practices rather than orthodox beliefs. A few of us started a progressive church in Springfield 6 years ago. We feed the homeless every week, distribute groceries to the poor, and send the substantive support to the poor of Nicaragua. We have established YouTube and iTunes channels that are listened to by thousands of people all over the globe every month who are interested in progressive faith. Now we need to find some more local liberals, rebels, progressive activists, and thinkers to join us in making this kind of 21st century religion thrive in Springfield as a viable option for serious, rational people. The sad truth is this, beloved. This so-called progressive faith has over the past half century infiltrated not only the pulpits, but the Bible colleges, the theological seminaries, and our own Southern Baptist Convention. Do you hear me? Just as Brother B.J. pointed out so clearly in the very first chapters of Revelation, it was affecting the early church as well. It's not new. As a matter of fact, it's very, very old. Just as Brother B.J. pointed out, you and I are still living in a day of polluted pulpits. The churches of chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation are found everywhere today. Polluted pulpits are popular with polluted people. Second, a pluralistic philosophy permeating today's churches, particularly since World War II, is the idea that there is more than one way to get to heaven promised in God's word by the believer. Are you aware of that? You should be. Christ himself talked of the two roads, two highways, two paths, two routes, whatever you want to call it. Christ himself talked of the two roads and made it very clear that only one, and that one very, very narrow, leads to God's promised land for his people. I am the way, Jesus said. I, Jesus Christ, the baby born of a virgin in a manger in this holiday you start celebrating now, right after Labor Day, I am the way. There is no other way. As I said, it's a very, very narrow way. The worshiper, the follower of Buddha or Mohammed or any of the other religious leaders, past, present, or future, will not suffice. Hell is prepared for all those who reject Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Hell. Eternal. Hell. Suffering. Eternal. Suffering. Awaits all those who do not trust Jesus Christ to save them from their sins. According to secular history, as far as I can tell, Mohammed, Buddha, nor any other religious leader died and rose again for my justification. And the pure Christian for your justification. No one, Jesus teaches, no one comes to the creator of this universe but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the light, Christ says. And then he tells those who are saved by his shed blood, without me, you can't do anything. Isn't that what he said? Is that a myth? Is that a fairy tale? This community Christian church keeps the word Christian in its name while its pastor boldly proclaims what I read to you earlier.
Yes.
Now listen, I have no problem with Roger Ray calling his church a community church. I don't have a problem with that. But if its tenets are based on a pluralistic philosophy, I do have a problem with including Christian in its name. Number three, planetary politics. Now, you can tell this was probably written or proposed, this double P principle thing, probably, I imagine, between the Civil War and the First World War, sometime in there. But whoever came up with it was visionary. But planetary politics, we are just beginning to explore this part of John's new revelation, and it's easy to see it happening before our very eyes if we only wake up. I was in the wholesale grocery business for over 30 years. As a Christian, when I saw the universal product code introduced, you know what that is?
Yes.
Down at the bottom of everything you buy, they run it through the scanner. When I first saw the universal product code introduced while I was in the business, the first thing I thought of at the time was how easy it would be for some political entity to claim that only that code could be used to purchase anything legally. What am I talking about? I don't know that that's it. I said that the first thing that came to my mind. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a controlled market. I'm talking about one entity being able to say, you cannot buy this food unless you do certain things. You think that's possible?
Absolutely.
How easy it would be to control who could produce, who could manufacture, who could distribute food, medicine, clothing, and so forth. Today, all of our major now, don't misquote me, all of our major banking institutions, most of our military installations and a great many of our educational complexes are electronically connected. You know what I'm talking about? You've seen it happen in your lifetime. The age of planetary politics is upon us, my friends. From the teenager's tweets to the internet. So there we have the first three double P's. Polluted pulpits, pluralistic philosophies, and planetary politics. All embrace an imitation of Christianity without Jesus Christ. All embrace many ways to reach heaven, if there really is a heaven. All embrace everything in place for the end and the mark of the beast. So, well, preacher, you're old and you're going off, you know, and all this fantasy land. And all the fantasy land is in this article. People's front view.
That's right.
If you don't have the mark of the beast, according to whatever that is, probably not the universal product code, something of that nature. We could discuss that. Now, you know, people would rather argue over it than accept it. Amen? If you don't have it, according to the book, you're either going to be imprisoned or tortured or maybe executed. I don't know. Finally, to conclude with the principles, the double P's, we discover, I love this, a particular place. A particular place. I want to read from the book. It's so much better than this stuff I'm writing. Jesus said, John, look, I'm going to see something. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. We no more see. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. It's taken care of. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I always have been, always will be. Amen. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I'll be his God. He will be my son. Fable. The holy city. New Jerusalem. God promised Abraham a land flowing with milk and honey. The Old Testament prophets spoke of being able to return to this city. Jesus promised his believers they would one day understand all about heaven because they would be there. The Apostle Peter wrote about the coming of a new heaven and a new earth. Jesus is coming again to rule and to reign from where on this earth? Where on this earth is he going to rule and reign from? Jerusalem, according to the word. And then Peter's prophecy is to be fulfilled. A new heaven, new earth, world without end. Amen. Eight P's, first you just think about. These sort of was tied in pretty well with what the brother's been teaching us Sunday evenings. And I think the first six have pretty well been covered. Not maybe another 100 years, maybe another 300 years, maybe another 500 years. But the first six have pretty well been covered. Something to think about, isn't it? Paul's preaching with this more than one way to heaven, one worldism, They're already here. Jerusalem is located right in the middle of where all the turmoil is taking place today. That's just interesting. I'm not up here prophesying. I'm just telling you. It's in the paper every day. So, let's you and I get our friends and loved ones involved, if not in BJ's Sunday evening teachings and lectures, then through our conversations and witnessing to others. Aren't you glad you're a Christian?
Amen.
And if you aren't, why aren't you?